live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we meet faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
I didn't even plan to talk about anything help. I already have my notes here, but when the Spirit of God stirs things like this, it's for your benefit. You jump in and receive grace. You cannot say, okay, well, I think I have everything available. No, you don't have everything figured out by your senses. You don't have everything figured out by your mind. There's a grace you need in the next 6 months, 1 year, that you don't even know that you need it. So when help is here, you just enter and receive. And after the service, when you go back home, you'll see the manifestations of these words. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Help is here. Glory.
Glory.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Taking the lead. Amen. I don't have much time. Hallelujah. I'll try and walk with the time. Hallelujah. Taking the lead. We started sharing in first service about taking the lead, and we shared certain things. I'll just do a brief recap of what we shared. How many of you were in the first service and you enjoyed yourself? You were really blessed. Hallelujah. So I'll just do a brief recap for those that were not around. And then I'll add one or two things in the second service. Hallelujah. We started by saying that there's a major leadership crisis or challenge right now in this 21st century. A famous leadership expert, John Maxwell, said everything rises on and falls on leadership. And why I quote him is because he was someone that was a pastor. You read about him, you know, he was a pastor, pastoring church for years. And then he felt led to go in that direction of leadership. Okay. So his leadership philosophy has an undertone or background from the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a major challenge. And we said many believers misunderstand the term leadership. Okay. The ideology of leadership is, for some of them, is vague. It's not clear. Okay. For some, their ideology of leadership has been conditioned by the world system. It's what the world tells them a leader is. That's what they work with. Okay. They've not learned to walk by the prescription of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, leadership is not exclusive to an elite group of people. We said in the world system, they'll tell you, well, there's this misconception, are leaders born or they are made? And I said, in the gospel, leaders are born. You are born a leader. Hallelujah. You are born a leader. And we said from Genesis chapter 1, when we're reading from verse 26 to 28, said, the nature of leadership is in you. Leadership is in our nature. In essence, it's in our nature. It's inherent in us. Give me Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. I said, every great concept that is blessing the world must find its root in Genesis, in the beginning. So when God said, let's create man in our image and in our likeness, he now said, let them have dominion. And that is a leadership mandate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a leadership mandate. But the first thing was identity. And that's why I would say leadership is first of all about your identity and your what? Your assignment. Your identity, who you are. And your assignment. I would say that every believer has the nature and capacity for leadership. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you have the nature and capacity for leadership. Hallelujah. So talking about identity, I would say there's no true leadership without biblical understanding of your identity, who you are. Because life flows from the inside out, not from the outside in. Hallelujah. Your true identity is not in what people say. It's not in the opinions of others. It is in what the scriptures have said about you. Hallelujah. Whether you're rich, you're poor, you're white, you're black, you are educated or uneducated, inconsequential, you are born a leader. Hallelujah. So that nature is inside you. That nature of God. God was the first leader introduced to us. He brought structure and order to a chaotic system. You read Genesis 1, when it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2 said, suddenly he said the earth was without form and void. And what did God do? He restored order. Hallelujah. So you see, these principles are in the scriptures. They'll tell you order, structure, systems, all these things, they are there. So your identity and your assignment is fundamental to your leadership capacity, is fundamental to your leadership progress. You must understand who you are. I read Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Are you projected for me? Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, Message Translation. I'll say the first thing about leadership is about your identity and your assignment. And the scripture says, can we read it together? Oh, okay, let me just read it. It said, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. Glory to God. It's talking about your identity and your assignment. Are you seeing it there? Are we together?
Yes,
amen. It's talking about your identity and your assignment. What has God called you to do? That's why I said leadership is first of all about your identity and your assignment. So he said, and sink yourself into that. Kai. If you can do this, you'll be successful. And you don't need to do many things. I discovered the scriptures are simple. The instructions are very simple. But people overlook these things because it looks simple. Make a careful exploration of who you are. If you do not understand who you are, you cannot lead people. You cannot take the lead. You cannot take charge. Because what will be happening is you'll be having internal crisis, which will spill over. So you must know who you are. And we said in context here, who you are in the gospel, who you are in Christ Jesus. Not based on who your parents told you are or who your friends say, okay, I think you are this kind of person. I think you have this kind of temperament. Okay, you're sanguine and then you have some phlegm on it or some melancholy. So I think you can be outgoing and emotional and everything. You see, the concept from the world system has limit. It is under the authority of God's word. You must subject every ideology to God's word. You must measure it. Do you understand what I mean? And like I always say, every temperament can be edited. So that you don't let people label you based on a particular temperament. It's okay, this is how you are, and you accept it. Is that what the scripture says? That's not what the scripture says. Even the temperament thing we're talking about, was still a conditioning. It was still a conditioning from family, from environment. You give it to a child and say, Kai, this child is a choleric child. It's a choleric baby. That's a phlegmatic child. No. Well, it's conditioning. Do you understand? That's how children are raised. When we raise children, it's the conditioning that determines the outcome of their life. So if that child grows up and does not subscribe to what the word of God says, that's how the life will play out. And that's why identity is very powerful as a believer. Oh, yeah. You're having self-esteem issues. It's all traced to identity. Hallelujah. It's all traced to the revelation of your identity. That's where it starts. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life flows out of it. That's where life starts from. In Matthew it says, make a tree good and its fruit good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit bad. He said, a good tree, a good treasure. You see, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Because it started from within. It's the life that powers the production of the fruit. So it's inside out. Listen, if you can sort identity issues, you have sought a major issue of life. I know some people are, you see, in the secular world, the Western world, people are confused. People are having affinity for men for men. Somebody organized a wedding to marry himself. What perversion? What is that? That's amazing. Do you understand? That's amazing. Self-love, you to marry myself. On that I was to marry, is it fish or something? I say, Jesus, this the devil has twisted the minds of people. So let her be called what she wants to be called. If she wants to be called a he, call her a he, call he a she. So, you know, also you see pronouns here and there. That is twisted ideology. It's a devil. Confusion. That's why I love African parents. Once your child is beginning to have those tendencies, just send him back home. Send him back home. And let him come to the village or come and stay for 2-3 weeks. That stupidity will be corrected. They will balance it. You understand? And that's what the devil does. He projects ideology and makes you start accepting. And you're not looking for external support system to support that belief. And people don't know that the outcome of their life will go in that direction. Some people always see themselves with inability. They always see themselves as weak. They always see themselves not being able to. And their lives turn out that way. So life, you live life from within. Glory to God. Everything on the outside are just external support system. You live life from inside. So connecting it to leadership, I said, you must understand your identity, who you are, and your assignment. He says, sink yourself into this. Don't be impressed with yourself. Meaning, keep improving yourself. Keep upgrading your version. Don't compare yourself with others. Next verse 5. I'm just giving a recap on the things we said. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Hallelujah. I remember we talked about Gideon, how God had to reveal his true identity to him and his assignment before he was able to take charge. He was able to lead the children of Israel to defeat the Midianites. Hallelujah. Said you will strike and defeat the Midianite as one man. Hallelujah. Give me Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28. We said the perspective from the world system is not necessarily the same as biblical perspective about leadership. And you remember Jesus comparing how the world system lead their people to how it's supposed to be done in God's house or as a believer. He said the Gentiles, Give me King James. Just give me King James. He said, they lord it over them. That's their concept or ideology of leadership. And it's a Babylonian system. I hope you know. It is. I think I was having a conversation with someone. I was saying, Kai, if you work especially private organization, the health personnel, they will milk you. You know, when they milk everything you have, they will rock you to the bottom. No space, they will rock you. And that's how Babylon is built on. Why people that are working their entire life, after they work, they are now using the money to themselves. Know who you are. Glory to God. Know who you are. Jesus told them, he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Meaning they are lording it over them. It's a system of control to keep people under, to keep people subjected to the system. But he said, not so with you. Next verse. Whoever will be great among you, whoever wants to be the leader, let him be your minister. Let him serve. That's what he's saying. Let him serve. People still have the mindset that if you are serving, you are not a leader. And that's the wrong mindset. Because according to the scriptures, leadership is service. Hallelujah. It is service. How did Jesus live his earthly? How did he live in his earthly ministry? He lived a life of service. He said, so also the Son of Man did not come to be served. I came to serve. I did not come for people to serve me. Me, I came to serve. Do you know that when Jesus was living his earthly ministry, you could not differentiate Jesus from his disciples? When they came to arrest him, Judas had to give them a sign to be able to identify who Jesus was. He betrayed him with a kiss. That means if immediate people had came, they would have been trying to. It may be difficult for them to identify who Jesus was. I get what I'm saying. I mean, he so lived together with his disciples that they were one. You could not differentiate who was Jesus or who was not Jesus. But you know how it is in our environment, right? Once you are the boss, you enter that political office, it's like this. Even as you are walking, they know the protocol, the security, everything. That's the leader. But the first concept I want you to understand is leadership is service. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Because we are in a generation where everybody wants his space. I don't understand this thing about space. Honestly, it's amazing me. Everybody wants his space. I want my space. Just give me space. When you serve, you are leading. When you serve, you are leading. Meaning you can lead where you are. You can lead where you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me move so that I'll just share certain things in this service. I just have a very few. My time is very, very short. Now, we talked about the dominion mandate. God gave that mandate to us. I would say that is the leadership mandate. And one of the things we said, we highlighted in first service was leadership is taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for your life, for your family, for your relationships, for your business, for your career. In spreading the influence of the gospel. That is what leadership is. Taking responsibility. We spoke about Nehemiah, spoke about David. Now, in our contemporary world system, how many of you have read about Nelson Mandela? I'm sure everybody here. While growing up, you would have watched one movie or two. Right? Yes. That was a great leader. That guy was selfless. Do you know what it means to take upon you the responsibility? Responsibility. of establishing this whole gender equality thing in South Africa. You didn't know. Listen, what happened there was terrible. What happened in South Africa was terrible. The whole system of apartheid, the whole, you know what? They created policies to support it. There's policy supporting apartheid. You know what apartheid is, right? What is all segregation, right? Racial segregation, racial discrimination. They created a system that empowered it. You have a white minority and a black majority, and you receive segregation. There was a law back in it. It was terrible. But you see, he took the responsibility of fighting for it. Until he was sentenced to life in prison. Spent over 28 years, right? Around 28 years in the prison. For a cause. He was not elected to do it. He was not given the title to fight for the cause. He took the responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? He took the responsibility. And he was willing to give his life for it. The democracy you are enjoying, the things you are enjoying right now, people fought for it. People took responsibility for it. So that's the watchword there. Take responsibility. Where God has planted you, rise up and take charge. Rise up and take the lead. Same thing with Martin Luther King Jr. He died for his cause. The same issue, same challenge. The whole equality thing and segregation and discrimination. Now, these are leaders that took responsibility. They were not appointed to do the work. They took personal responsibility for it. Hallelujah. So the nature and capacity for leadership is inside you. One of the watchwords here I want you to go with is take responsibility for the things happening around you. Things should not get worse with you being there. Your presence there should make things work. Glory to God. Don't abdicate that leadership responsibility to somebody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me add one more thing from that dominion mandate. Leadership is a fight. I wrote it. It's a fight. Meaning, if you're going to take charge, if you're going to take responsibility, there will be opposition. Oh, did you get that? There will be opposition. And one of the words he said, let them have dominion. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue. He said, subdue. That word subdue means you are bringing under authority, under subjection, with force. And like I said, we don't control people. We lead them. We control circumstances. We bring demons under subjection. Are you following? That's leadership. So leadership is a fight. You fight to get certain things done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's move. The second thing I'm going to share under the leadership mandate is the Great Commission as a leadership mandate. Saying these things are looking spiritual. It's not spiritual. This is foundation. Hallelujah. This introduction to leadership. Amen. All the other stuff about leadership, leading yourself, and lessons from leaders and everything, you're going to get that. Okay. But I need to share this. The Great Commission. I'll share this and then I'll add one more thing and then we'll close. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from 18 to 20. Let's have it on the LED. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Next verse. Go therefore, teach all nations. So there was a commission in here. Go therefore. That was an instruction. Go. He said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, make disciples of nations. Hallelujah. Meaning, take the influence of this gospel to everywhere. Take this gospel everywhere and make disciples. That's a great commission. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 18 to 19. The Great Commission is a leadership mandate. You can write it down. It's a leadership mandate we have received from the Father. From verse 18. all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. If you are here, you are still looking for your calling and everything. There's a general calling we all have. No, are you getting it? We all have a general calling to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Meaning your own calling is sub. It's a subunit of the general call. Hallelujah. Whatever God has called you to do, your assignment should lead to the propagation of this. Are you getting that? Ministry of reconciliation. Next verse. To wit that God was in the world reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. So he gave us the ministry of reconciliation and gave us the tool, the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting that? So this is a leadership mandate. So we spoke about dominion mandate. We now spoke about this as a leadership mandate. Meaning you're supposed to, wherever God has placed you, you're supposed to go there and influence that sector for the gospel. That is taking the lead. Did you get that? That's taking the lead. Hallelujah. Now, I wrote something that we can't effectively fulfill this God-given assignment without understanding what leadership is. We have a unique calling to infiltrate every sphere of influence with the gospel. You've heard the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom gospel. This is what it is. Influencing all nations. So the message is beyond, is outside church. You are taking the gospel to where you are. You are in the fashion world. You are meant to influence that sector for God. You run business. You are meant to influence that sector for God. You are in the academia. You are meant to influence that sector for God. God is saying, go there and take the lead. Hallelujah. Go there and take the charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meaning, people should not doubt your capacity or your integrity in the marketplace because you are a believer. They should not doubt your productivity. Are you with me? They should not doubt what you have to offer. Have you seen people, okay, well, I thank God, he came by miracle. You see, things that come by miracle, if you don't have the competence and capacity, you cannot sustain it. If money comes to you by the miraculous, how are you going to manage it? Will you manage it by the miraculous? How will you multiply it? Angels will just, they will just blow it, then it will multiply. No. We have seen a lot of believers that are mediocres where they are. No impact, no influence. It's as if they are not there. Glory to God. So we are getting this charge is to be impactful where you are. Make a difference where you are. Because you've been called to lead. If you read this book by John Maxwell, The 360 Degree Leaders, how he said you can lead from anywhere in an organization. You can lead up, you can lead down, you can lead horizontally. It's just that our concept of leadership is, we always know, all we know about leadership is leading down, leading everybody that is below you, commanding them, controlling them, giving them instruction. That's the only thing we know about leadership. It will take you far. You can lead your peers. And guess what? You can lead those above you. Through influence. And that's why the people that make things work in an organization are not necessarily those that have titles, in quotes, that have the position or the power. It's people that can get things done. Glory to God. Listen, don't use Christianity to hide mediocrity. Do you understand? I want to talk about character and capacity. Okay, but give me Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 and 14. Popular scripture. But you're going to see it. This is leadership. This is taking the charge. Taking charge. This is taking the lead. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Amazing. Amazing. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So he likened you to salt, salt of the earth. In that sector where you are a salt. What's the usefulness of a salt? A salt brings what? Taste, right? Brings sweetness. People should be happy that you are there. Are you getting what I'm saying? People should be excited that you are running things where you are. They should be happy because you are bringing the genius out of that company. You are bringing the best out of that industry. As a believer, you are a salt, so you are bringing sweetness, taste. This should be their testimony. No, before this guy came, things were not working. Everything was just anyhow. There was no structure. There was no order. But when he came, he brought structure. He brought order. Things started working. That should be the testimony in the marketplace. Hallelujah. That should be key. So you should see yourself as someone that will take that responsibility for making things to work. So salt brings taste, sweetness, and salt also causes preservation. Right? When you want to preserve certain things, you put salt, isn't it? Oh, I love what Auntie Fumi used to say. How many of you know Auntie Fumi when she came for her training? She said when she was, the general manager there of Coca-Cola in the chapter when they sent her, nobody died under her watch. Meaning she took the responsibility of all the lives there. Do you know you can? For evil to befall your company, except you are not there. That's the mindset I want us to have. Are you following what I'm saying? So that you are not trying to live a separate life from the people. In this my sector here, people, they are just godly, they are godless people. Bribery happening everywhere, people cutting corners and everything. So what believers do is they separate themselves from the system. What is the usefulness of a salt outside the meal? It's useless. Is it not? When you're cooking, do you carry the salt and spray outside the pot? So that it can influence? No. Spray around. It doesn't work like that. And guess what? It doesn't need to be much. A little quantity can alter everything. Glory to God. So we don't need to be many to change things around us. Just you there in that sector can turn things around. So see yourself as a salt there. You are bringing taste. You are bringing preservation. The next thing, verse 14, it says you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Don't hide your light. What's happening in churches? All of us bring our light and we're shining. You shine your own before me, I shine my own before you. So we are shining ourselves. We won't blind ourselves because we're just shining. Everybody's shining his own light in church. The usefulness of a light is in darkness. Kai. Do you understand? Of what use it is, if we light 100 candles here, we have LED, there are lights and everything, we still light everywhere. Is good for effect. But the light is important in darkness. That's why you value light. Especially if in Africa where you have stayed in an area for 2 months, there'd be no light. And they just brought light. In Nigeria, you see, they brought light. Oh God. Basic things. Look at the things we are rejoicing at. Basic amenities or basic things that should be available. We rejoice and we are happy. Your mood will just change. You say, glory to God, yes. You can go and own your laptop. Oh, God. Listen, don't let your life be trapped by these simple, basic amenities. That's why you say a lot of people, believers, when they go to UK, things are working, there's light. People now say, is there really a God? Why all these things? Why are you praying too much? The systems are working here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is going to help us though. Hallelujah. In this country, God is helping us. Hallelujah. So when somebody wants to come out for a political office, he uses basic amenities to influence your decision. I'll build schools for you. I'll give you 24-hour lights, water, things. Do you understand? Road. Basic things. So we're not even used to compare previous administration plot and the current administration. Okay, this one they tried. They really worked. To what do you mean by they work? Is they made lights available. They build roads. And they pay salary. How is this work? No, that's what I want to understand. That's no work. Let's leave that. We're talking about leadership. Hallelujah. Leadership. You are the light of the world. Tell your neighbor you are the light of the world. You are the light of your world. Did you get that? You are the light of your world. So don't let anything put you under. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. No. You put it on the top, on the lampstand. He said, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. That is taking the lead. That is taking charge. Let your light so shine before men so that they can see. Because in the secular world, if they don't see, they won't believe. For we in the kingdom, believing is seeing. For them, seeing is what? So let your light so shine. You are an influence in that sector. God has sent you there. You are a leader. Your presence there should bring order and structure. Your presence there should trigger and stimulate productivity. Glory to God. Don't accept a mundane life, a mediocre life. Don't. Things are not working. Move and get things working. Take steps and make things working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Great Commission is a leadership mandate. We've been called to carry out to spread the influence of the gospel. Okay, to reveal Jesus to our world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? And like I said, you don't need a title. You don't need a position to make things work around you. Hallelujah. Listen, don't be among those that are always complaining when things are not working. Be a solution provider. Do you understand? Why? Because the nature is inside you. Do you know the solution is inside you? The solution to the world's problem is inside you. Eternal life is there. So you release that eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalms, we'll just read two scriptures and we'll close. Psalm 78 verse 72. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Psalm 78 verse 72. Now he was talking about King David. How he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. And guided them by the what? Skillfulness of his hands. Hallelujah. A man of God called this the two legs of an athlete. Have you seen an athlete that is running with one leg? Except if it's a special sport for them. Okay. But you see, an athlete needs two legs to run. And he called it character and capacity. Or character and competence. Whichever you call it. Okay. You see, in leading, and for me, this is a major connection between leadership and your own personal success and fulfillment. Develop character. Let the word of God shape your personality. It will influence your leadership. Are you with me? So when God says, I've seen David my servant, if God calls him a man after God's heart, it wasn't just integrity. Are you getting it? Integrity is okay. There's a moral side of character. Character has moral side and discipline aspect. So you are moral, you are truthful, you are faithful, you are trustworthy. Those are all moral aspects. And then, of course, the discipline aspects. Okay, you are disciplined, you are consistent. So as a believer, be consistent. As a believer, be disciplined. As a believer, be faithful. Be trustworthy. Let people trust you. Hallelujah. People should be able to trust you where you are. They should be able to commit things to your hand. That's character. So when the word of God builds character in you, it influences your leadership capacity. That's number one. Number two is competence, skills. I mean, after David was moved in his heart, he was moved in his heart to serve God. Okay, he loved God with all of his heart. He was also skillful. And that's competence. And you see, a man of God says most believers in church, if it's character, okay, some will pass. But competence is zero. That's why I said, don't use Christianity to hide mediocrity. Don't use Christianity to hide incapacity. Or lack of capacity. So where you are you good at what you do? Because those things will determine whether you're going to lead there or not. Isn't it? Isn't it? Yes. You have a job. And you have two people you want to give the job to. One is a believer. I said, oh, okay, well, this job. Okay, we're going to get it done. And then he does not get the job done. Why? We had fasting and prayers. Okay. Now, I'm giving you legitimate reasons, right? We had fasting and prayers. Okay, sorry, I could not meet up with the target. Okay, they gave extension again. The person could not meet up. Or the person sold it. And what you saw in picture, what the picture is sent to the person is different from what you see in real life. Have you ordered for things before? You see this shape online. Oh, goodness, Lord. And what they brought is as if it's one tailor in Angua that saw it. Now, that's one person. Then there's another person. He's probably not even a believer. But he is. His touch is fine touch. You know, accurate is skill. And delivers. Who are you going to give the work to? No, let me be sincere. It's not the person that gets the work done. No, I'm asking. Yes. So at that point in time, it's not the anointing that will sustain that skill. Are you getting it? So very important as believers, pay attention to your integrity and to your capacity. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, we'll just close here. I have many things to share, but I'll just stop here. Hallelujah. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men. It's not about faithfulness. That's character. Commit them to faithful men. Are you a faithful person? Who shall be able? The ability there is talking about capacity and competence. So you are seeing those two words there again. Hallelujah. Very important. And also I read that Psalm. So that you see that as a believer, you have to develop these two qualities. Now there is a teaching. I think either leading yourself or one of the sessions the pastor is going to take, and he's going to go deep into this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you've been called to influence your world for the gospel. You have been called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So you are like a salt where you are. When you are there, you should trigger productivity. Your presence there should make things work. Glory to God. Not to spoil things. They should make things work. Hallelujah. So accept this mandate and run with it. Take charge. Take the lead. Take the responsibility where God has placed you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand. Say this, I take the lead in the name of Jesus. I take the lead in the name of Jesus. Say this, I am a source of positive influence wherever I am. I am a source of positive influence wherever I go in the name of Jesus. Can you open your mouth and just pray in the Holy Ghost? Father, thank you. Oh, maleno sevina shati, embrendo zevregepa, rapando sevregepando lobo shagatosa, elabando savregepalatosa. Can we have the communion stewards just come forward? Hallelujah. Can you rise on your feet? Just rise on your feet. Makola bando sevregetola bate. Everybody rise to your feet. Before we pray, I want to give an opportunity to, if you're here, you have not given your life to Christ, and you know Jesus is not the Lord. He is not the Lord over your life. He is not your Savior. You know, you have not given your life. You have not surrendered your life to Him. Can you just lift up your hands? Let me pray with you. If anybody is as such in the house, I want to pray with you and lead you to this, to the faith, to this life that we have in the gospel. Just wave if there's anybody like that. Hallelujah. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Just open your mouth in the spirit. Online, just indicate. If you're there and you're lifting your hand, just say this. Father God, I come to you this day. I declare that I am a sinner. Father, this day, I declare and I accept the lordship of Jesus over my life. I declare that you are Lord over my life in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I declare that Jesus is Lord over my life. Today I am saved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you pray that prayer on ground, please, after the service, we want to see you specially at the Overflow Hall as we welcome our first timers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Open your mouth and just pray in the spirit as we break bread, as we take communion. Glory to God. It's a communion of influence. Yes. People are rising here in authority. They are rising here. The Lord is lifting, is raising the horn of somebody. Come on, open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you.
Jesus.
By
your name. Established authority.
Just pray in the Holy Ghost as the
Jesus,
Lord and the body comes to you.
Jesus,
this is the cup of our common union with Him.
By your blood,
oh God, you cross principality.
It's a communion of kingdom influence. As you take it, you begin to make declarations. I am rising in influence. I am rising in authority. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Go ahead to take the communion. Go ahead.
There is power.
Joshua chapter 3 verse 6. Hallelujah. It's a communion of kingdom influence. You are going to pray and make prophetic declaration. Because our time is fast gone. I would have loved us to just pray. Thank God we're able to pray before the message. You're going to make prophetic declaration. Ayala manu sabata. Elemenos ende vendo bakatola bata. Give me verse 7. Moka palatosa. And the Lord said unto Joshua, he said, this day will I begin to magnify thee. It means when people are looking at you right now, your value has increased in their sight. Are you getting it? Meaning your value in the sight of people has increased. Suddenly people are looking at you with another lens. You're no longer small in their eyes. He said, I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Can you open your mouth in the next 2 minutes and prophesy the scripture in the name of the Lord Jesus? The Lord has magnified me. Yes, I rise in influence. I rise in dominion. I rise in impact. I wish you know the value and the importance of this prayer. The Lord has magnified me. Come and declare, the Lord has magnified me. Yes, I am magnified. Hey, he has glorified me. I am no longer small. Glory. Hey, Jesus, the Lord has magnified me. Ishapate lepakonda pila ebekete kete iloparato isapila tila. One more minute, pray in the spirit and declare, yes, my value has increased in the sight of the world, in the sight of my family, in the sight of my company, in my business. Things are shifting, things are changing. Alabakate. I declare the Lord has magnified him in the name of Jesus. Suddenly, Eleba, your impact is felt. Your influence is felt where you are. In the name of Jesus. Eleba Tosa, the Lord has glorified you. You are no longer small. Hey, I said the Lord has glorified you. You are no longer small. I hear increase. I hear increase. Oh, the scripture says a little one can become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I hear increase. Increase in your life, increase in your family, increase in the works of your hands, increase in your body. In the name of Jesus. And lastly, I hear favor. Hey, favor, favor. As you go around, you are wearing favor like a blanket. Hey, favor, favor. Somebody scream favor. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise and rejoice. Come on, rejoice, rejoice. Glory.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.